टूरिज्म जिसको कश्मीर का बैकबोन माना जाता था वो आज जीरो मनफी पे आ चुका है।
हाय, आई एम ग्रीष्मा कुत्तार एंड दिस इज वॉइसेस फ्रॉम द लॉकडाउन, अ फर्स्ट पोस्ट पॉडकास्ट।
In the previous episode of Voices from the Lockdown, we looked at how a year after August 5th of 2019, the worst repercussions of this move has been on students. In today's episode, Kashmiri journalist Kuratullah Rehber will be speaking to us again to help us understand the state of the economy in Kashmir. The Kashmir Chamber of Commerce and Industries estimated that Kashmir's economy suffered losses to the tune of 40,000 crores since the abrogation of Article 370 and Article 35A. Through the year, businesses have been mostly shut and could hardly participate in anything which can be considered normal market activity. Job losses due to the state of the economy is a whole story by itself. The worst hit sectors, according to the KCCI, has been tourism, hospitality, transport and horticulture industries. While we have heard many such data points which suggest that the situation is extremely bad, through this episode, we will attempt to listen to some of the affected voices from Kashmir. Kurat, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you, Grisha, for having me.
Before speaking further with Kurat, I'm going to share an interview with Bilal Ahmed, a hotel owner from Pahalgam in South Kashmir. Let us listen to what he has to say about how life has been for him since August 5th of 2019.
We are totally crushed from the economy. If we look at our economy, it's totally depending on tourism, and there is not any other source of income, especially in Aru Valley, because we cannot grow any crops here as well. And then all the villagers are totally depending on tourism. Like there are some people who are operating horses, some are operating shops, restaurants, some are guides, like trekking guides, and few has guest houses as well. And I'm one among them. When there is like such kind of problems, so we don't get anything. We don't get any money from any side because there is not any other source of income. After 5th of August, they took all the tourists from here, and after that winter came same time, and we were trying for tourism to get like winter activities as well here, and because of the situation we couldn't success in this thing as well.
Kurat, what I gather from Bilal's words is that businesses dependent on tourism in Kashmir have taken a massive hit since August 2019. But just saying this word tourism sector, right? I don't think it's good enough. I mean, I think we should discuss the major and minor players in the industry, as clearly there are quite a few of them. Can you break it down for us?
The thing is, you cannot view the tourism industry in isolation. There are many allied industries dependent and connected to tourism, like local industries, which have been hit the hardest. For example, Kashmir is known for its handicrafts and shawls. Thousands are dependent on this sector, but there has been no revenue. When I spoke to different people across the sectors who are connected with tourism, what I could see was that there has been a complete breakdown of an entire ecosystem. I spoke to a ponywala in Pahalgam whose name is Muhammad Shafi. He used to earn his livelihood by ferrying tourists around. But since last year, he has not seen a single tourist. Even if he had to find alternative employment, there is nothing available for him. Shopkeepers, shawl sellers, hotels, homestays, small tea stall owners and other business dependent on like tourism are not able to make anything for their living. In Srinagar's Dal Lake, a major tourist attraction, around 1,000 houseboats are anchored in a ghostly silence. These floating boats used to be bustling with tourists, but these luxury boats are sinking now. With no business in hand, the houseboat owners say that even they don't have money for the yearly necessary maintenance of these boats.
Okay, since you brought up the losses suffered by those who operate houseboats, let me play back an interview with Yakub Dono, the spokesperson of the Houseboats Owners Association.
I'm 47 years old and I've never experienced a situation like this in my life.
I was around in the 90s, 92, 96 and 97. Not just that, even 2008, 2009, 2010 and 2016 also had difficult situations. But still, tourists used to visit. Since last year, after the abrogation of Article 370, we have not seen tourists visiting the valley. The tourism sector is the backbone of Kashmir. And now, that backbone is broken. We Kashmiris are living a helpless life. We were promised by the government that we will be paid rupees 1000 per houseboat as monthly assistance for 3 months. I have to spend around 50,000 to 1 lakh rupees for caulking a boat. Will 3000 rupees be of any help? That is why we rejected the government's assistance.
So Mr. Yaqub here raises an important point about government support during this lockdown, and he clearly says that it has been inadequate. Kurat, has this been the case across industries? For example, immediately after August 2019, there was a lot of talk about the Indian government providing help in the form of minimum support price to apple farmers. Were there more such support policies, and if there were, on hindsight, were these policies effective?
See, Grishma, the first thing that you have to understand is that the losses aren't specific to one industry. All industries have suffered losses, be it these like houseboat owners, apple farmers, private transporters or allied industries. The people I spoke to across industries complained that either they had not received any government help or like it has been very minimal, which has not eased their economic sufferings. The people largely feel that the government has been indifferent towards them. There has been no government intervention in the tourism sector, which we already said like is the worst hit. Even a relief package of 1000 rupees a month was declined by houseboat owners, who termed it as a pity joke by the government. After August 5 of 2019, there were attacks on non-local truckers who were ferrying apples from Kashmir to outside markets. For the first time, non-local workers were attacked. Apple growers were completely dependent on these transporters. Government announced an intervention that time and promised to procure apples directly from growers. But there was no security of payment from the government, as like farmers had no idea about at what time they would receive payment. Local farmers told me that there was no security in it. They had to take security from government at that time and had to kind of wait in line outside DC offices to get this protection. Even if they got this permission, it was entirely upon the farmers to have responsibility over apples. Most of them didn't find this scheme helpful, and eventually they sold whatever they could to local merchants. Some of them also like kept apples in cold storage and sold them outside when things were a bit normal. Also like thousands associated with transport sectors, they are out of work and they are like very badly affected. Many are doing now manual work to feed their families, and no help or no support has been provided to them as well.
Right. So essentially what you're saying is that there has been close to no effective support. Before we head into the last segment, I want to play back just one clip of Museb, who is an entrepreneur and runs his own business in Pulwama.
I am a young entrepreneur from South Kashmir. Due to abrogation of Article 370 and COVID-19, my factory has been severely affected. I haven't been able to achieve the targets I had set for my factory, and I am in so much loss that I am thinking of shutting it down. Whatever stock I have at my factory, I am selling it at no profit so that I can pay my employees their outstanding salaries and the people I buy raw materials from. My entire business was online, and now, due to the slow internet, 90% of my business has been impacted. According to me, Kashmiri youth should go for the government or private jobs rather than doing business.
Kurat, as Museb has clearly articulated, the situation continues to be bad as we speak. People are running in losses, businesses are shutting down. Those who are dependent on any of these industries for jobs have been out of work for months. Then what is the way ahead? I mean, without these sources of income, what do businessmen like Museb or workers like Shafi intend to do, either to provide for themselves or for their families?
The way ahead will be that this government lifts restrictions and provide basic facilities like high-speed internet. industry players are all saying that the government has to bring in effective interventions and assistance policies for the people who are working in different sectors. One of the pretexts the government gave for the abrogation of Article 370, it was like to bring economic prosperity in the region. However, like we have seen, the local economy is in shambles. In the middle of all this chaos, people are struggling to find answers as how they are going to revive their business and earn their livelihood. We are not sure who is going to answer this.
That is all from this episode of Voices from the Lockdown. For previous episodes, visit the First Post channel on audioboom.com.